Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight, wherever you are joining us from. In your part of our state, as we are broadcasting statewide. Great to have you with us tonight on this Monday of this holiday week. I'm sure everybody's got 4th of July fever. I know I do. I'm excited to celebrate our Day of Independence. Coming up right around the corner, Thursday. Right, Conrad? Is it Thursday? It's Thursday, right?
It's Thursday,
yeah,
yes.
I thought so. We have a best of show planned for Thursday. I'm going to take that night off. And then we have some pre-recorded stuff we'll do on Friday. That'll be fun too, but that'll be an all new show. So great content coming up all week. Great guests. And we'll keep you company through this entire holiday weekend or holiday week. It should be fun. How you doing, buddy? Did you have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend, yeah.
Yeah? Tell me about it.
I went golfing.
Okay.
Watched some stuff on TV. And I cleaned my house.
You clean your house?
Or
wow.
My apartment, yeah.
How did that go? Was it a lot of work? Did you let it go for a while or what?
No, I didn't let it go that bad. But yeah, like the problem with the dryer, I didn't really clean my clothes for a little bit. So I did laundry all day pretty much.
Oh, that's brutal. But they fixed it?
It's fixed.
All right, that's good.
I just had to take the lint out.
You know what I was doing today? I got dressed and I was like, I literally had just gotten out of the shower before I got dressed and came here. And I'm like, what in the heck is that smell? And you know that smell when you leave your clothes in the washer too long before you put them in the dryer?
Yeah.
That it just gets that stench. Oh, is it bad? I almost wore that out of the house today. And Heather Heil will be here later, an in-studio guest. And that would have been horrible. She would have had to use like a clothespin over her nose. I luckily caught it and threw on an old dirty shirt instead, which smelled better. No, I'm kidding. But I put something else on. That is just the worst smell.
Yeah, definitely.
We both agree. Had laundry emergencies over the weekend. So, we got a great show. As I mentioned, Heather Heil will be here at 8:20 tonight. She's coming by in studio. Heather is going to tell us about so much stuff going on in Northeast Wisconsin this coming weekend and just kind of what she's been up to. She's also, last time Heather was here, we gave her a friends quiz. Do you remember that, Conrad?
I do, yeah.
So she has a chance. When I texted her last time, I said, how do you feel about Friends? Are you a Friends fan? And she texted back, we were on a break. Ross's catchphrase about describing he and Rachel's relationship and his defense of what his actions entailed after they broke up. He slept with someone. He kept saying, we were on a break. I didn't really cheat, you know. So Heather responded with that. And I thought that meant, oh, she gets it. She's a Friends fan. So Conrad and I made up this whole Friends quiz. And she's like, oh, I didn't really watch the show much. So she did better than I thought she would, right?
Yeah.
We still gave it to her, right?
Yep.
But this time I said, okay, you have a chance to redeem yourself. What's a show we could quiz you on that you would, you know, feel like you were in the game at least? And she said Seinfeld. So I got a Seinfeld quiz for her. We're going to give her that and we'll see how she does. Heather's always fun to have. And I like that she comes into the studio because she lives locally. So that's fun. And then at 7:35, pardon me, I'm kind of doing this backwards. DJ Olbris will be here to talk about Riverfest Lacrosse. Pardon me. Which happens July 3rd. This is a big bash in lacrosse. And it's like 3 days of just all-out fun. And I know most celebrations around the 4th of July or summer events have, you know, face painting for the kids. They got an animal over there, music, and, you know, corn dogs. This is I was looking at the website. It looks like a blowout. And DJ is the director of media for Riverfest Lacrosse. He'll join us. And I assume he's a DJ. Would you assume he's a DJ, Conrad?
I think with the title in his name, he has to be a DJ.
If not, we're going to have to give him a talking to because that seems misleading. I think he's a DJ too. And he's the director of media. So the guy, he seems like a really sharp guy. We'll talk to him about what's going on in lacrosse. Maybe you're up for a road trip to lacrosse. I don't know. But That sounds like a fun time. They have live wrestling, a karaoke contest. Seems like a lot of fun. So do you have 4th of July plans yet, Conrad?
Like I said, I'm taking care of my brother's cats while he's away.
Oh, yeah.
But I have a friend visiting from my hometown, Kewaskum, so that should be fun.
Does he know that he's going to be playing shotgun to you taking care of cats? Did you tell him that before he bought his bus ticket, so to speak?
You know, it's like step one, feed them.
Yeah.
Give them a little bit of attention.
Okay.
And then you're good for the day.
Nice. I love it. That's about all I would do, too. I saw day one, A Quiet Place, day one, speaking of cats. And there is a scene at the end of the film. First of all, it's really interesting when you watch the movie because what I like about it, it's shot really cool. There's like this great aesthetic about the movie. There aren't really any big stars. I guess one of the stars, Joseph Quinn, was in Stranger Things, but I didn't see him in that. So I literally was watching people I hadn't really seen before. And it was easy to get lost in. And everyone in the theater, if you know the premise of Quiet Place, these aliens come down to Earth and they're very sound sensitive. If you don't make sounds, they can't see you or know you're there. So you have to either use sign language or figure out another way to communicate that does not make noise or they kill you instantly. Well, in this film, this girl has a cat. She's in hospice. And we follow her. She connects with this guy, Joseph Quinn. They become friends during this time. They're in New York City. The last scene of the film, I'm just going to say he runs off a pier. I'm not going to say what happens. And he's holding the cat. And this alien is about to get him. Reaches down with the clutches right as he jumps off the pier. And I won't say what happened, but I was literally on the edge of my seat. And I went, ah! It was that harrowing.
In the movie? Did you watch in the movie theater?
In the movie theater, yeah. I made that noise. And everyone was kind of like, but what's so cool was watching a film where the people on screen could not make a noise. The people in the theater were the same way. There was not, you could hear a pin drop. And I think it's because everyone felt like they couldn't make a noise because of the subject matter of the film. It was really a fun watch. And I didn't miss John Krasinski or Emily Blunt. It was just, it was well cast. Not a perfect movie, but a really good summer thriller. So that reminded me when you said cat. That's me. Hopefully the cats you're looking after will have better luck this weekend. So I did watch a lot of stuff this weekend. I saw a lot of content. And it leads me to tonight's question. If someone made a movie about your life, what would you want the title to be? It's your autobiography, The Life and Times of Conrad, The Tribulations of Pete Schwabba, whatever it is. If someone made a movie about your life, what would you want the title to be? That's tonight's question. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know some good titles. I think this is a good one. We'll see what happens. I also watched, I talked about 1923 last week, right?
Yeah.
Really good. Finished it. So here was my weekend, okay? So I get home, and my son was shooting a film this weekend, and I was helping out on Saturday, and my brother was also involved. My son works for my brother. So the two of them were doing this. I was there as an extra set of eyes. I get home. All I want to do is watch the end of 1923. And my son is running lines with my wife in my chair. They had separate chairs. My point is, my space was taken. I had nowhere. And they needed help. So I went downstairs to try to watch. But then I just got distracted. And I was like, oh, I could go give him a note on that line or whatever. You know, that's just everyone in our family like does that kind of stuff except my wife. So long story even longer. He did not get to sleep till 2 a.m. He had to film all day the next day. The next night, I'm like, you know, I went over and I helped out and we went to dinner at my parents' house. I was very excited just to get home at like 9 o'clock. And I wanted to watch like 3 hours of TV. I wanted to finish 1923. I had 3 episodes left. Power outage. This humongous tree fell on power lines. And this happens all the time where we live. So that's why we went to see Quiet Place day one. We had no power, nor did our neighbors. So a bunch of us went to see Quiet Place. So around midnight, I borrowed a lantern from my parents. I'm like John Boy Walton here now. And I got my cell phone fully charged. And I sit down and play poker at like midnight. Right as I get the lantern set up, open the app, boom, lights come on. So there you go. That was my weekend. And then we shot more on Sunday and I helped out with the movie a little more. Got to finish my show last night. But it was good. 1923. Highly recommend it. Since then, I started 1883. 1923 is a prequel to Yellowstone. In my opinion, much better. Harrison Ford, Helen Mirren, and some other younger actors. Michelle Randolph is one of them. But really good. Three different storylines working. Loved it. 10 times better than Yellowstone. Really liked it. Started 1883 last night. Got through about three episodes. And good. Not great, but good. Tim McGraw and what's his wife's name? Conrad, are you a country music fan?
No. Tim McGraw,
what is her name? She's a famous country music star.
We go to the Google.
Let's go to the Google. Not Amy Grant.
Faith Hill.
Faith Hill, that's it. They're the stars of it. And they're both really good. Sam Elliott obviously is in it because anything shot, it has a Western theme. Sam Elliott has to be in. And they're all good. It's just not quite as riveting as 1923. Would love to know what you guys think. As usual, you know you can chime in on anything we're talking about here on the text line. Love to hear your thoughts throughout the show. And 855-752-4842. And let us know if someone made a movie about your life, what would you want the title to be? That's tonight's question. Kevin Costner's movie, on the other hand, was kind of a flop. It's kind of silly. He's this long title. It's like Horizon, Saga 1, Chapter 1, Page 3, Kevin Costner Diary. It's just a ridiculous title. He has too much power, I think. His stuff that he does by himself is just kind of self-indulgent. I have not seen it. I'm not going to see it, though. It's 3 hours and 1 minute, and that's Chapter 1 of this movie, where Chapter 2 comes out next month. It will probably be 4 hours. That's too long. I'm not surprised it flopped. We'll have more on that, and we're going to talk about the movie Sicario, Day of Soledad. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Sherry from Horicon checking in says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Hi, Sherry. Good to have you with us. Then she says, we have a king now. Do you think that's Sherry's response to our question of the night, Conrad, or she's talking about the debates?
I don't know.
That's kind of a cool name for a movie. Sherry, we need clarification. I think it's something else because she said The Wizard of Oz in her next text. That title is taken, Sherry, but you can have it because you're a great and faithful listener. We will make that happen for you, Sherry. Aunt Carla checks in. The Follies of Aunt Carla. That sounds like it'd be like kind of a whimsical, fun musical.
I could see that.
Yeah. Aunt Carla getting off the plane, going home, breaking open the tequila. Little tap dance number with all of her friends. Aunt Carla's a partier, isn't she?
Yeah.
We can tell that. That's good when you know just from someone's texts. This happened to me today. Okay, so I got in the car to come here. I needed gas. I stop. Why? If someone out there knows, I would love to know why this happens. I've noticed it years ago. And every time I put my card in to get gas, it says, remove card rapidly. And I like panic. I'm like, oh my God. And I take it out like, why? Why do I have to remove the card? Why would they tell you to do that?
You just got to have really quick hands.
No, you don't. Not to fill your car with gas. I don't understand that. Why do you want me to remove my card rapidly? Are you hoping you don't catch all the numbers and I get the gas for free? That's always, I've always wondered. Any guesses?
I don't think I've actually had one say remove card rapidly in a wild for me.
I guarantee you.
But I actually use the tap now. If the gas pump has tap, I'll be using it.
Oh, you just tap your credit card against it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to look for that. I don't know.
I also have Apple Pay too, so that...
How do you do... I've never done gas with Apple Pay. How do you do that?
Well, they have the tap. You can just tap your phone on there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it just comes... Apple Pay just comes right out of your debit card, right?
Yeah.
Oh. So you're like Mr. Fancy Pants.
You could say that.
I don't understand why it says remove card rapidly. Why? What do you want me to do? And there's times I haven't. I gotten distracted. I'm talking to someone. I turn on. I take my card out as slow as I want. And I still get gas. So what? There's obviously no repercussions. I just don't understand why they want me to take my card out rapidly. If the CEO of Exxon happens to be listening to this show right now, we would love a phone call. Please let me know the thinking behind this because it does not make any sense to me. Get to the bottom of that. So today, the film Sicario. You said before the show, I think, that you had not seen the Sicarios, right?
Nope.
Great movie about the drug war. Josh Brolin plays this kind of badass CIA guy. And Emily Blunt is in the first one, and she's great too. But the guy that steals the films is Benicio del Toro. He plays a Mexican lawyer whose family was killed by the cartel. And now he's like the wolf. He went and trained. He's like this crazy assassin. And he's the guy the CIA calls in when they need dirty work done, so to speak. And the first film is great. The second film is great. They're even extra great when you watch them at home on the stream. Love them. So the second one dropped today. And we have a clip from it. This is Josh Brolin of the CIA going to recruit Benicio del Toro to try to get him. This is the shorter clip, Conrad, to try to get him to come and work for them. And he kind of lays out the deal.
Turning you loose. How loose? Carlos Reyes. Who's that for loose? It's your chance to get even for your family. You're gonna help us start a war.
With who?
Everyone.
That's great. And Josh Brolin kind of is much of a tough guy as he is in this film. He walks around with like capri shorts and Crocs. He's just a kind of a interesting character. And here he is going to see Matthew Modine, the actor Matthew Modine, who is recruiting him to shake things up with the cartels because the CIA wants a war. Here's another clip with Josh Brolin.
I'll do whatever you need. Just point the way.
Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I wouldn't take out a cartel leader. I'd turn one cartel into 50. Besides, killing kings doesn't start wars, it ends them.
That's our concern.
Mm-hmm. You have a location on Reyes?
No, but the family is under surveillance.
Is he in contact with them?
Not to our knowledge, but we assume he has.
Any kids?
Two.
What's the age of the youngest?
16.
16. Yeah, if you want to start a war, kidnap a prince. King will start it for you.
You did this sort of thing in the Middle East. You think those tactics will work here?
If you wanted to, sir.
Boots on the ground, you're going to hire on the outside. And the same goes for your supply train and for air support.
And I don't need to remind you what happens if they figure out that it's us.
Just to be clear, You want to see this thing through? I'm gonna have to get dirty.
Dirty is exactly why you're here.
Matthew Modine and Josh Brolin, great clip. If you have not seen the Sicario movies, I recommend them. They're very good. They're not masterpieces, but great for what they are. Action films. I wouldn't even say action films. Just good kind of mystery caper and a shocking ending to, I think it's the first one actually with Emily Blunt, but great movies. Check them out. From the 920, Jim in Appleton says, I had an epic weekend this weekend. Love when a text starts with that. Friday fish fry at the Legion, Saturday hours at the Outagamie County Fair, followed by watching Damsel on Netflix, then Cozy Corner for supper, capped off the night by the super music supplied by 7,000 Apart. Thank you for introducing me to them. Sunday was spent in recovery. Wow. I was exhausted reading that, Jim. That is a that's a crazy weekend. Sherry says mine would be looking through an artist's eye. That would be the title of her film. Love it. And we got a couple more we'll get to after the crack team of Civic Media reporters gives you the news. Great stuff. DJ Olber is coming up next to talk La Crosse River Fest. That'll be fun, and I'm going to learn how to talk between now and then. This is Peach Wabbit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. When you feel that blue, I'm waiting just for you. Someone's a little for their love. Someone's a little for their love. And I love her. And I love her. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves to watch true crime, but only if it's shoplifting, Peach Wabba.
So, Carla from Baraboo says, you put the card in the wrong way. Had this happen. Carla, I did not. I put the chip side in. Every time I do it, it says remove card rapidly. That's what I don't understand. Jim from Appleton says the part is for reading the magnetic strip on the back. Most cards now have chips, so it's just tradition. I have a chip. That's the part that goes in. That's what I cannot figure out. If anyone knows this, please clarify why it says remove card rapidly. I panic. I yank it out. I pull the whole pump over. Conrad, that's a lie. All right. So tonight's question, if someone made a movie about your life, what would you want the title to be? Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can text us on the app. That's the easiest way to do it. Or on the stream, you can leave a comment. Tons of ways to get in touch with Nightlight, and we'd love to hear from you. It is my pleasure now to welcome a gentleman from the La Crosse area who is the media director of Riverfest La Crosse. This looks like a really big bash. I've been trying to reach out to places around the state to find out how they are celebrating the 4th of July, and there's all kinds of really fun events. We've talked to some really great people. This one looks like a pretty big one, though. Wouldn't you say, Conrad?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, lots of stuff, different stuff, too, which I thought was cool. But let's bring him in now. His name is DJ Olbris. He's the director of media for Riverfest La Crosse. Hey, DJ.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. Thanks for taking time out. I'm sure you're busy with last minute preparations. How are things coming along?
It's coming along pretty good. We're kind of rushing tonight, trying to get everything finalized so that we don't have to do set up in the rain tomorrow.
Oh, is it supposed to rain in La Crosse tomorrow? Oh, man.
Yeah, we're expected to get like 2 inches of rain tomorrow. Oh, so boy. We're trying to be done before that.
Yeah. Well, I wish you luck. I hope, sometimes, I've been at festivals where we've just gotten poured on. It can actually be kind of fun as long as there's no lightning. You just get soaking wet, and that's what happens, right?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
We're definitely a rain or shine.
Oh, that's great. Well, okay. So what can you tell us about Riverfest La Crosse? Give us an overview, if you would, of your festival.
Friendly events that, you know, we're a festival for the July 4th week. Yeah. We have lots of live entertainment. There's live music. We have like a family magic show, lots of family friendly entertainment. Plus we try to keep all of our music family friendly as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I noticed you have a lot of different music. You have, and I noticed the family friendly comedian too. Is that a comedian that parents enjoy as well as kids, or is it primarily directed at the kids?
Oh, no, he's definitely for the whole family.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so tell us about some of your musical. You know, I think, Conrad, I think we're having a connection issue. Can we have maybe DJ call in again? Because I think we have a delay here. DJ, sit tight. We're going to try to reconnect with you, okay? We might have lost him. Why don't we try him back, okay? Or just get him on the phone, either way. So that's DJ Ulbrich. We're going to try to reconnect with DJ. We had a bit of a delay there, and he cut out a couple times. So let's try to get back. It's Riverfest La Crosse. If you're in the area, check it out. I didn't realize this. I noticed they had a lot of family entertainment, but he's saying the whole festival is pretty much geared toward family. So that's kind of cool, too. And they have family-friendly comedians. I think the music he said was even family friendly, and there's no, and food too. I would imagine there's no R-rated food. So that's good for La Crosse. This is, I'll read a text here while we're waiting to get DJ back. Robert from McFarland says, if someone made a movie about my life, what would it be called? I lived, I laughed, and I loved in Wisconsin, and we are the better for it, Robert. Thank you for doing all your loving, living and laughing in our state. I love it. That's a great title. So coming up at 8:05, we're going to have a little tribute to the movie South Park 2. The film dropped in 1999. I went to it with my buddy Mike Siegel, who was on the show last week, actually, and I was a guest on his podcast last week as well. Mike and I went at a 10 a.m. showing somewhere at some theater, I think in Westwood out in L.A., and I laughed so hard I couldn't even catch my breath. And it holds up. We have a couple really funny songs we're going to play at 8:05. And then Heather Heil joins us at 8:20. It'll be fun to talk to Heather. We're going to give her a Seinfeld quiz and talk to her about what she's been up to. Heather has got her finger on the button here in Wisconsin, here in Northeast Wisconsin, for sure. And she's going to tell us about a lot of the things going on, a lot of the things she's been up to. And we will, we'll talk to Heather at 8:20. She'll be in studio. She's always fun. Conrad, how are we doing? Oh, we're trying to get DJ on the phone. All right, cool. I hope we can get him. This sounds like a really fun festival. La Crosse is such a beautiful area. And if you are, if you're in La Crosse right now, or if you're listening and you have a great something you can say nice about La Crosse River Fest. I'm having a lot of trouble with that word tonight. La Crosse River Fest. All right, there, I said it. Feel free to share that. And I guess we have DJ back now too. DJ, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, there we go. All right. Thank you for your persistence.
Hey, no problem.
Yeah. So, okay. So you said you have a family friendly, pretty much the whole event is family friendly. What kind of music? Do you have different kinds of music on the agenda?
Yeah. So we have a lot of local artists that come in. They perform on our food and beverage stage throughout the day. And then our nighttime acts are more of our bigger headliners. Like Wednesday night, we have our national act, who's Josh Ross. He's a big up-and-comer for country music, along with Drake Milligan. And then kind of from your side of the state, we have Boogie and the Yo-Yos on Saturday night.
Is that a band?
Yeah.
Boogie and Yo-Yos.
Yep, Boogie and the Yo-Yos.
Oh, I love it. What kind of music is that?
They're kind of a mix of, they do a lot of covers, so anything from pop to rock to country.
Oh, very cool.
They have a lot of energy to their music.
That does not surprise me with a name like that. That they sound like they would be a lot of fun. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of food? What's your favorite kind of food you guys offer?
Oh, well, we try to change it up kind of a little bit every year, but we've got a taco truck that serves very fresh shrimp tacos each year, and that's by far my favorite.
Shrimp tacos. I love the shrimp tacos. And you have a karaoke contest. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's our first year doing it. It's Riverfest Idol, so we've been having competitions at local bars, qualifying competitions for the last 4 weeks, and they're all going to compete. The ones that qualified on July 4th, and then the ones that move on from there compete on July 6th, and the first place winner will get $1,000.
$1,000? Whoa, that's pretty good.
They upped it from 500 to 1,000, so we've got a lot of people that really want to win that.
Does all of this money and all of these costs come out of your pocket?
So we have a lot of sponsors from the local area that help us put this on each year. And then we have, in order to get into the festival, you got to have a Riverfest button. So that helps offset a lot of our costs.
There you go. So tell me also, you have live wrestling. My guest, by the way, is DJ Ulbrich. He is the media director for Riverfest Lacrosse. Check it out this weekend if you're in that part of the state. And if you want a road trip, this sounds like a lot of fun, especially if you have kids. Sounds like a very family-friendly event. Tell us about the live wrestling. Is that I assume, is family-friendly?
It sure is, yeah. So,
do they wear baggier shorts instead of the Speedos?
Oh, no, they still wear the Speedos and all, but... Oh, yeah, they kind of tone it down. They know that what the audience is that we have. So they've been coming for about 4 years now. And, they make it very entertaining that a lot of kids are right up at the ring just encouraging the wrestlers.
Nice. And so where do you – is this like a year-round job for you, putting all this together?
Yeah, so we have a board of directors that plans this, and – I'm always telling people, like, for instance, we're already starting to plan for 2025. So we plan for well over a year in advance for our festival, and we meet about once a month. And then as it gets closer, we meet more often, and yeah, we volunteer a lot of hours to make this happen for the community.
That is really cool. So how did you find yourself, what brought you to lacrosse, and how'd you get into this racket?
My dad was actually on the board of directors back in the 80s, and we had moved away for a while. I moved back to the area about 10 years ago and went to Riverfest one year, and I was like, you know what? I want to get on the board like my dad was. And so I applied and got right on the board and haven't looked back since.
There you go. And now, I assume you're a DJ with the name, or is that just an abbreviation?
Nope, that's just my initials. Oh, okay. Definitely not a DJ.
You don't spin the tunes. I thought maybe you were like up there making some good mixes during the event.
Nobody would want that for me.
So what's the best thing about living in Lacrosse, DJ?
You know what? We get access to a lot of great things that are outdoors up here. If you like going out on the river, or you like hiking or biking, I mean, we have it all over here.
Yeah. It's beautiful too. You got the hills and the mountains and the Mississippi, and some good culture too, right?
Oh, definitely.
So what are you going to do if this family friendly comedian just loses his mind and starts dropping F bombs? Do you have like a big hook?
Well, no, he knows that he can't do that. And, he's definitely just a family-friendly type of guy, so we wouldn't have to worry about that with him.
All right, that's good. I have one more question for you, buddy. What are you watching? What when you're done planning this Riverfest, what do you go home and binge watch at night? Or have you seen any of the summer blockbuster movies?
I have not had time for that with everything going on with Riverfest. I don't even know what's good out there right now.
Oh, you got a lot to catch up on then, buddy.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything on TV you're watching that you could share, a recommendation or anything?
I mean, I like Blue Bloods or Chicago Fire. Those are my two go-tos.
Okay. Still a network guy. I like it.
Yeah.
That's good. Good for you. All right. Well, DJ, thanks so much for your time tonight. Wish you a lot of luck with Riverfest Lacrosse. It sounds like a blast. And maybe Conrad and I'll road trip next year, and we'll grab that karaoke contest and take home the prize.
That sounds great.
All right. All right. Good luck. Thanks so much for your time.
Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. That's DJ Olbris. He is the director of media for Riverfest Lacrosse. Check that out. Sounds like a lot of fun. Their website is great. They have great food, great entertainment, family friendly, everything. Even the wrestlers are family friendly.
See, I don't think you want to hear me sing though next year. I don't know.
Maybe listen, I'm going to give you a choice. You can put on a Speedo and wrestle, or you can sing. It's really up to you.
I guess I'll start taking voice lessons.
It's either start taking voice lessons or start doing sit-ups.
I don't think I could wear a Speedo ever, no matter what shape I'm in.
Oh, come on. Not with that attitude. All right. So we got Heather Heil coming up at 8:20. Right after the news at the top of the hour, we're going to talk about the movie South Park. I have some great clips, two great songs from that movie. One is called What Would Brian Boitano Do? And the other is called M.K. So those will be fun. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a John Wayne movie that made people sick, not just from watching it either. The crew actually got sick. And we'll talk about Eddie Murphy and Marlon Brando. That's next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this beautiful Monday night as we start this holiday week. 4th of July in Wisconsin. You can't beat that. You can't beat summer in Wisconsin. Summer and fall are my two favorite seasons here. What about you, Conrad? What do you like?
I would say I love spring.
Really?
I love spring. Only reason, you can finally open those windows.
Yeah.
And you get that great breeze in there with the, like, just the smell of grass coming back in, you know?
Yeah, sure. I get it.
And then I would say summer as well.
All right. What do you think about, did we talk about this NFL lawsuit last week?
Yeah. So I'm just so confused on why, why isn't the money going back to the people who overpaid for it?
Who's getting it?
Exactly. Why is it a lawsuit and someone else is getting money and they're just keeping it?
Do we know who's getting it? Seriously, like, is it been determined who?
I don't know who's getting it, but I haven't heard, like, oh, these fans are going to, who've purchased this, are going to get a reimbursement. I haven't heard anything about that.
You know, when I was, this is shortly after 9/11, I was traveling back to Wisconsin from Los Angeles. My wife, my son was about 2 at the time. You know, they overcharged us for this huge suitcase. It was a big suitcase. We used to call it Bagzilla because it was green. And the guy that was checking the bag said, this is an extra $50 for the weight. And I said, really? He goes, yeah, you don't understand. These guys that are out there loading these bags, it's a lot of hard work and it's hard on their backs. And this makes it even more difficult. I said, oh, that's fine. Does that extra $50 go to the guys handling the baggage? And he just looks at me and he says, sir, one more crack like that and I will call the TSA.
Wait, what?
Honest to God, all I said was, is the money going to the people who are doing the actual labor who you say are going to hurt their backs or whatever? And I said, that's where the money should, I'm happy to pay it if I'm making their life more difficult, but is this going to the CEO or is this going to the guy handling the suitcases? He thought I had some attitude. And I shut my mouth because I don't want the TSA. You know, they could probably do anything. This was like when they had Gitmo. That's where I thought I was going to end up in Guantanamo Bay because I made a joke about a suitcase. You didn't mess around then. like in 2002. Conrad, you know what it was like. It was brutal.
No, I was 3 years old.
Yeah. You couldn't get lippy enough at that age. So this, I thought this was interesting. John Wayne made a really bad movie, I guess, called The Conqueror in 1956. And supposedly cinephiles just laugh at it. He played Genghis Khan, the Mongolian warlord. And anyway, it was not a good movie, but they shot it in Utah, where Genghis Khan did most of his dirty work. And a suspicious number of deaths happened after the filming of the movie. Supposedly, the location was downwind of a nuclear test site. And there's a new documentary coming out called The Conqueror, Hollywood Fallout. Almost 70 years after they made the film, trying to tell the story about how this affected this entire crew. It was filmed in the Utah desert outside of a town called St. George, over 100 miles downwind from this test site in Nevada. And the federal government supposedly conducted like 900 nuclear tests. So of the 220 crew members that worked on the film, a bad film, supposedly, I have not seen it, 91 of them became sick, and 46 died. Like more than one-fifth, more than 20% of the people that worked on this film, The Conqueror, got sick and died. And the movie has John Wayne, Susan Hayward, Agnes Moorehead. They all died of cancer as well. So this will be really interesting. Like, I don't know what the statute of limitations there is, but can they still get sued? There's also people that died by suicide, and a lot of them got cancer and became so sick. This one guy took his own life. So supposedly this director, Will Nunez, got the idea for the film during COVID in 2020 during the lockdowns. He had no idea. I had never heard of this, but that is crazy. 46 people out of a 220-person cast died. And Marlon Brando, supposedly, it was written for him. The movie was written with him as the star. The dialogue was like this Shakespearean dialogue written for Marlon Brando. And they say it sounded even worse coming out of John Wayne or the Duke. And it's a pretty depressing story. I kind of want to go watch the movie now, but I won't. I'm not seeing the new Kevin Costner movie either, too. 3 hours and 1 minute, and it's chapter one. Chapter two drops next month. This guy wears a cowboy hat more than actual cowboys. What could he do film-wise that he hasn't already done in a cowboy hat? He was great. I loved him in Silverado. Didn't really care for Yellowstone. Dances with Wolves. Okay. But the guy loves to wear a cowboy hat. Here's another nugget I saw too. This was funny. Eddie Murphy says when he hung out with Marlon Brando once, Brando says he didn't like Clint Eastwood. Murphy had just done his first film and says Marlon Brando called him up and had him come over to the house. And he said, I don't like that kid with the gun. Clint Eastwood was 6 years younger than Marlon Brando. And he called him the kid with the gun. Say what you want about Clint Eastwood. He is still kicking, man. He's like, I think he's 96. Let's go to the Google on that, Conrad. Can you Google how old Clint Eastwood is? I got to get to the bottom of this. He said he can't stand that kid with the gun.
94,
okay. Marlon Brando died at the age of 80, I want to say in 2004. 6 years older than Clint Eastwood. I love Hollywood fights. Our favorite title so far for a movie about a listener's life is Robert from McFarland. I lived, I laughed, and I loved in Wisconsin. He's got it broken into separate acts, too. Act one is he lived, he was born. Act two is just him laughing for 30 minutes and then him having sex for the next 30 minutes. Or falling in love, I guess. I don't know. But that's tonight's question. If someone made a movie about your life, what would you want the title to be? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. You can text us on the stream as well. We are talking South Park next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba after our crack news squad brings you all the information you need. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.